Good morning, Lee.
Howdy, Tara.
You know that person, they thought they'd be a hero. They're sick as a dog, but man, they're not staying home like a slacker. They're going to come into the office, right?
Yeah, and infect the rest
of us.
You
love that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, please, stay home. Apparently, according to the CDC, this is the time of the year when the cough of a coworker from across the office is enough to send you running to wash your hands. But just how close can you get to somebody with a contagious virus and still be safe? Well, according to the CDC, a person with the flu can infect anyone within a 6-foot radius.
Maybe they should build a wall.
Yeah. Heck, why not? Most experts, according to the CDC, think that the flu virus spreads mainly by droplets in the air. Oh, nasty. When people with the flu cough, sneeze, or talk. He's got somebody with the flu telling you how they're toughing it out. You're just like, shut up! You're spreading the flu.
Back up.
Yeah, so, if you're trying surreptitiously to avoid them, a good 6-foot distance is great.
Well, that and one of those medical masks might help, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, how not to offend your, seatmate there in the cubby with you. Okay. My head is spinning over this article. I mean, have we lost our minds as a country?
Yeah, oh, yeah, long time ago.
Long time ago. I mean, the political correctness and the evil it leads to. I mean, this is not, and especially coming, and I don't know why they did the story, from the Associated Press, that people, mainly Muslim people, are bringing child brides to the U.S. And our immigration processing services are just approving this. There were 55, this is between 2007 and 2017, 5,500 cases. 5,556 approvals for those seeking to bring a minor spouse or fiance to the country. And an additional 2,926 approvals for minors who are U.S. citizens seeking to bring older spouses who they are not legally able to marry, much less cohabitate with, into the country. And apparently these immigration applications that are based on the same standard thing, you know, petitions can be filed by U.S. citizens or permanent residents to bring their spouses here, that our immigration authorities are just not looking at the age, not checking that, and for, you know, overlooking it, and they just come here.
Gee, I bet there's a lot of former teachers that are looking at this and going, what? Because I'm in prison because of this.
Yeah. Well, no, wait. You don't want to sexually abuse an American citizen. You don't want to do that. But, I mean, if you would like to sexually abuse someone from a group of people who vote 80% plus or higher for Democrats, that'll be fine. I mean, it is sick what they're doing. Mm-hmm. These American parents of these young Muslim, mostly Muslim girls, are shipping them off to other countries to forcibly marry them, basically to the highest bidder, because they're highly valuable. I mean, they're young. So you get that going for you. But they also have, if they have American citizenship or permanent residence, they can be used to get a visa. So they ship the 13-year-old over to Pakistan, forcibly and against her will. And then the parents fill out the visa for the 26-year-old husband. We used to call that pedophilia. It was illegal in this country. But that was like 2010. Or 2005, I mean. And this looking the other way, by the way, was going on during the Bush administration, too. So can't just blame Obama.
Or Trump.
Yeah, it's probably still going on today. It's just terribly disturbing. And to read the story of this poor, beautiful girl, Naila Amin. I mean, she's 26 now. And she's a dual citizenship between here and Pakistan. And she grew up in New York City. She was forced to marry at 13 in Pakistan. Hmm. And then the adults involved applied for papers for her 26-year-old husband to come to the country. As soon as she was able to get back, she was, you know, raped. She said he beat her, which is pretty standard there in Pakistan. And as soon as she was able to get back to the U.S., she ran away and would not tell authorities who her family was. She grew up in the foster care system.
Wow.
She's 26 now, and her life is finally her own. She's going to Nassau Community College in Garden City, New York. She said her childhood was stolen from her.
Oh, yeah.
By her parents in the visa process. And, you know, she's aghast. Like, she said, no, she said, I was a child. I want to know why. Why weren't there any red flags raised? Whoever was processing this application, they don't look at it. They don't think. And she said her age was on the application. She was 13. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess you're a pedophile. You go ahead, get yourself a bride in Pakistan. Just bring her back.
There's just so much hypocrisy in this culture now.
And Lee, where's the outrage here? I guarantee this is the Associated Press. This is not some conservative hate group. This is not a bunch of white supremacists. This is the Associated Press, right? I guarantee you there'll be barely a peep about this. You're talking, what, almost 8,000 child brides victimized here in the last decade. Those are just the ones we know of.
All in the name of diversity.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, a feminist would be able to oppose this kind of thing. I mean, can you imagine if you were like some Southern preacher who proposed, you know, listen, kids are having too much underage sex today. It's, you know, from the pulpit, right, on video. Can you imagine this? We need to bring back child marriage. I mean, like, you know, you ought to be able to marry a 12-year-old.
What was the guy from the Church of Latter-day Saints, Jeffers? He's in prison for that right now.
He's still vilified. Well, they ought to let him out. He should have just gotten himself one of them child brides from Pakistan. He just did it wrong. Saudi Arabia, just ship her in here from there. I mean, here's the thing. Where are these people? I mean, okay, if your husband's 26 and you're 13, and you're in the U.S., I mean, are you going to school? Who signs your permission slips for field trips? I mean, you have to give them a custodian. How are they doing this? Does anybody care? And I mean, here's the crazy thing, Lee. It's not like they got to go look for them. Their names and ages are on the immigration applications. That's where the AP got this. They put them right there. They're not even hiding what they're doing. This is not our culture. I'm sorry. This is not our culture. Anyway, so imagine some Southern preachers saying, kids ought to be able to marry from the time they're 13. They ought to be able to marry older men, 26. They would be vilified. Mm-hmm. They'd say, that's just another example that is Christians doing perverted things. Illegal things. How does this happen over 7,000 times in a decade and nobody goes to prison? How is that possible? How are you given a visa to come here to be with your child bride or to bring your child bride here?
It's political correctness.
I guess. Well, I mean, I think there's some pedophiles that we need to let out of prison then. I think that we need, I mean, this is not fair. If this is going to be our policy, then let's do it. Let's do it out in the open. Let's be honest about what we're doing and see how the people think about it. In nearly all the cases, the girls were the younger person in the relationship. In 149 instances, the adult was over 40, and in 28 cases, the adult was over 50. In most of the cases, the girls were in their early to mid-teens, and the men were in their mid-20s to early 30s. That's just sick.
Just creepy, whatever the age.
Sick. 2011, immigration officials approved a 14-year-old's petition for a 48-year-old spouse.
That's your U.S. government at work.
Your U.S. government, yeah, at work.
Well, maybe since it's shut down right now, they're not approving any of those.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's a bonus right there. You know, and meanwhile, I mean, I turned on and listened to our news the other day, right? And it was said that case of that woman, she's a predator. She's in two school districts, right? She goes in and she gets a job and she dates students.
Right.
And the student she dated in one of them was 19,
yeah.
But it's against the law in South Carolina
exactly.
To date any student regardless
right.
of their age because you have authority over them and it's not.
Right.
It's not an equal relationship. Well, man, I mean, what is she doing getting prosecuted?
Damn.
He was 19. Shoot. You need to tell people this. You just need to have the child shipped over from some Middle Eastern mm-hmm. country, and everybody will celebrate your union.
Apparently so.
Now, apparently the rule is supposed to be, by the way, that they're supposed to scrutinize the age and the rules for marriage in the state where they're going to settle to see if it's legal, but they're just not bothering. I can't wait for the outcry from feminists over this.
Yeah.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it actually ever
No, it'll
happens.
Never happen. Are you kidding me? They're fine with this. Exploitation of young women. Well, that's bad. Which young women? Oh, never mind. Look over there, a squirrel. Anyway, so this nonprofit that works with primarily Muslim young women who are basically essentially being trafficked here, for pedophiles is basically saying that, you know, the USCIS, which is our immigration processing, U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services, that they have got to stop this because these poor women are being victimized. And then they're being used for sale because they're a highly valuable commodity. I mean, you're 13, you're good looking, and your spouse can get a visa to come to the U.S. I mean, that is worth a lot of money. These parents are selling them.
It's just repulsive.
Yeah, and I guarantee nothing will happen. I'll put this in my follow-up pile. We'll look in a few days, see if anybody cares. I doubt it. You ever seen those programs on television? Like the ones with, Patriot Meals or whatever? And they last like 25 years. They're expensive, too. It gets, you know, your year's supply. I think Rand Paul's dad has some of those. He's prepared for the apocalypse or whatever will come. Which is good. You should always be prepared. But anyway, I checked out one of those just one time, just out of total curiosity. But, you know, it might be good to have a couple of those on hand for, like, you know, another Hurricane Hugo type event. And they were expensive. Or you could just do this. Costco is now selling, wait for it, 27-pound mac and cheese buckets with a 20-year shelf life. See, so there you go. Okay, now how long you could live off mac and cheese, I do not know. I'm sure it's a while. You got the salt in there, you need salt, right? As long as you had a source of water, I don't know, I figure you could probably live a couple years before the lack of nutrition got you. I don't know, I'd have to research that. If somebody knows, let me know. Yes, Costco has blessed us with a 27-pound storage bucket containing 180 servings of mac and cheese. You know, the kind that practically glows in the dark, that stuff. It's got a 2-decade shelf life. This is what I need. Online Costco customers' reviews for the $89.99 item are all raves. Good stuff. We bought this for our grandson. He was here the day it arrived. We opened it and made it very pleasantly surprised. I have made it a couple different ways. You can't mess it up. Have purchased it again and will continue to do so. So there you go. You're looking for a cheap way to survive the apocalypse, at least for a couple of years. By the way, I always wanted to know, do you ever wonder how long stuff in your food pantry would last? I did not know mac and cheese make it last 20 years. I did not know. I don't know what happens at year 20 either. I mean, what's the difference between year 19 and year 20? They don't say. I guess you just find out, right? You get yourself two of those. You live for a while on that. You got plenty of protein, fat, food dye. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. One of the best comparisons that I have seen for the absolute ridiculousness that is this idea that there's no crisis at the border. There's no national security crisis. There's no illegal immigrants. Then why do you need sanctuary cities? Why do you need voting for illegals in blue city after blue city? Why do you need in California a free health care plan for illegals if there are no illegals? Why do you need any of that? They won't say. And no one will ask them. Not the Democrats. But we've seen in this country how after the tragedy of mass shootings, every time, what is it? 10 dead, 5 dead, 7 dead, 40 dead, God forbid. That hasn't happened much, but it has happened. Large numbers. What do we see? If it saves just one life, we need to ban guns. Which guns? All of them. Let's get them. Let's go around and get them. People will be happy to turn them in. Ask anybody on the left and they would agree that mass shootings in this country are a crisis. I don't think anybody on the left would deny that if you asked them if that was a crisis or not. But see, here's the problem. Total number of people, of Americans, killed in mass shootings since 1966. What would you guess it is? I haven't a vaguest clue. I couldn't pull a number out of my head, but it's 1,135 Americans tragically killed since 1966 in mass shootings. Okay. How many people in the U.S. have been killed by illegals since 1966? I don't know. How about the last 2 years? 4,000 illegals have been detained by ICE in just the last 2 years for homicide. Now, some of these cases, the illegal killed more than one person, like the guy who went on the rampage about 6 weeks ago. Killed multiple people. So, I mean, some of them got in multiple kills before they were rounded up. So somehow, 1,135 people killed in mass shootings is a tragedy and a crisis to the left. But over 4,000 killed in just the last 2 years by illegal immigrants, not a crisis. Nothing to see here. So, I mean, I this is yet again another case with the left of human life only matters according to who dispatched the person. If you are a group of people that votes Democrat at an 80% plus rate, then, you know, any life, if you're a member of that group, any life you take is, it was an accident, it's not a crisis, it doesn't matter, it doesn't count, we're not going to talk about it. But if you're a person not inclined to vote for the left, like, say, somebody who owns a gun, why, then anybody killed with a gun is the victim of a terrible tragedy, and yes, this is a crisis. That's just the irony of that. That's insanity. Just insanity. And again, the numbers. From Customs and Border Patrol, you ready for this? The last 2 years, 235,000 criminal aliens detained by ICE, 235,000 violations of the law, including 4,000 homicides, 30,000 sex crimes, over 100,000 violent assaults, and in just 2018, 17,000 individuals with criminal records apprehended at the border. Again, we miss 2 out of 5. I mean, no, we only get 2 out of 5, excuse me. We miss 3 out of 5 at the border. So we're getting 40%. We're catching 40% at the border. And 17,000 individuals at the border who we had the good fortune to catch, we missed the other 60%. 17,000 of those individuals had criminal records either in their own countries or in this one. And they were caught at the border. The rest made it through. That's staggering. And yet Nancy Pelosi continues to say, well, that's, there's no data. I mean, it's just anecdotes.
Those are tragic situations. There's a tragic situation at the border. Two little children died. But the plural of anecdote is not data.
So there's no data, though. I mean, like, other than that, there's none. It's not any data. Oh, by the way, in the last year, the all of our federal immigration services combined interdicted enough fentanyl to kill the entire U.S. population twice at the border. But, I mean, other than that, there's no crisis at the border. Everything is awesome. It's just ask Nancy. She'll explain. Okay, so now we've established that if you are Muslim, you do have a right to a child bride in the United States of America. We'll move on. Do you have a right as an illegal immigrant to have a gun? Wait, what? Wait, hold on. Lee, you got to love the irony of this. The left is in court arguing that illegal immigrants should not be prohibited from having guns.
You have got to be kidding.
No, I'm not. It's just another day in America. You know how, like in Alice in Wonderland, Alice goes down into the, down the looking glass to the world where everything is backwards and upside down? Yeah. That's kind of where we are here.
That's unbelievable.
No, it's happening. The Supreme Court is going to rule a review and rule on illegal immigrant gun possession rights.
Are they trying to say that as an illegal immigrant, you have a constitutional right to a weapon?
Well, no, they're not there yet, but they're working on that. Here's what happened. Supreme Court will decide whether an illegal alien from the United Arab Emirates was wrongfully convicted of unlawful possession of a firearm. Here's what happened. December 2015, Hamid Mohammed Ahmed Ali Rehaif was arrested in Florida after renting a gun at a shooting range and purchasing ammo. Federal law prohibits classes of people from possessing guns, including illegal aliens. Okay, so that is the law, but that's just for now until a judge changes it. Okay, so Rehaif is a citizen of the UAE, came to the U.S. in 2013, went to school for a while, then dropped out. His immigration status terminated shortly after February 23rd, 2015. So he's now an illegal immigrant. He's overstayed his visa.
Whoa. Huh? He rented a gun? Was this at a gun range?
Yes.
So if he was on a gun range, which is their job is to, you know, allow people to fire weapons, and it is a safe environment in which to fire weapons, and he rented, he just like anybody else went in and rented the gun while he was on the, I don't see why there was any issue here.
Well, because he's not legally allowed to possess a gun.
But he's not possessing it. He's renting it.
Well, Apparently, that part's not in dispute.
As long as he is on the premises of that gun range, I don't see how in the world. Now, if he left the premises with a gun, that's a whole other issue.
Well, that's not actually in question. Apparently, legally, he should not have the gun. What they're arguing is that he claims he did not know he was an illegal alien because he overstayed his visa. And so, therefore, if you did not know that you were an illegal alien, you ought to be able to possess a gun. The law wouldn't apply. So this is a little less than half of people are visa overstays. So they could just say, well, I might be an illegal immigrant, but I can have my gun because I don't know I'm
illegal.
Well, this
would be news to some folks who rent houses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the landlord is the one that's legally responsible, not the rentor.
I just tell you the news.
I know.
I mean, every day there's so much crazy. You know what I mean?
There's your quote of the day. Every day there's so much crazy. I love that.
But whatever the case, the left is in court on behalf of the illegal and his right.
That'll be the
gun.
New bumper sticker. I'll tell promotions. Every day there's so much crazy. The Tara Show on 106.3 WORT.
We can't cram all the crazy in, but we try.
Exactly.
Speaking of so much crazy, remember former Arizona Governor Jan Brewer,
who
was awesome,
yes.
Stood up to Obama as he attempted to flood her state with illegal immigrants that really weren't coming, now we say, but back then we acknowledged they were.
She had the audacity to point a finger at him on the tarmac of the airport telling him about that.
Yes, which was, of course, racist. So anyway, here's Jan Brewer. Finally, actually, somebody, saying this. Take a listen. She says, forecasted, if we do not get the wall and border security, our country will collapse. She said this in a radio interview the other day.
They know it works because the crime effort has slowed down where the walls are. I mean, it's data that we all have access to, and it has shown that it has worked. I often used to say that, a country without a border secure is like a house without walls. It collapses. You have to have your house protected. I mean, or it'll collapse. And if you don't have a wall at the border, our country is going to collapse. It's as simple as that. And it doesn't seem to me that that's very hard to understand. The Democrats, the left-wing liberal Democrats, just want open borders. I think that's very plain.
Yeah, just ask Jim Acosta, because he's right there on the border talking about those steel slats and that wall, and there's no crisis, there's no crime, there's nobody trying to get a... That's right, Jim, because there's a wall there.
Right there beside you, in the video.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, a second one of these, that has been taken, morning consult this time, a plurality of voters see a crisis on the southern border. And it's very interesting. I don't know why they say plurality because I see why.
I was going to say, please explain plurality.
Yeah, no, it's not plurality.
Core.
No, okay, no, they're okay. So all voters, 42% say the U.S. is facing a crisis on our border, and another 37% say it's a problem. So if you add those two together, you get a vast majority.
Yes.
Right, but if you don't add them together, then you get two pluralities. But basically, never mind. I'm sorry, I just confused everyone on Common Core math. Never mind. But over 70% of voters, is it 70? Yeah, believe that, well, about 70% of voters believe that we do have a crisis on the southern border, or at a minimum, it is a problem. So Democrats not doing very well convincing anybody of this. By the way, including, 52, 62, 70, 71% of Democrats say the U.S. is facing a crisis on its border, or it's at least a problem. That's Democrats. So even Democrats aren't buying this crap. You know what I mean? That they're the crap sandwich that they're trying to shove down everybody's throat. There's nothing going on at that border.
Nancy and Chuck and the lamestream media haven't gotten the message yet.
No, they haven't.
They need some data.
By the way, did you see what the Occasional Cortex did to CBS?
Oh, no. What hath she done now?
Oh, no. I love it. Okay. So the CBS has announced their repertorial team for 2020.
Mm-hmm.
The guerrilla warriors who will be making up stories during the election that bear little resemblance to the truth.
Yeah.
And Cortex noticed, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, to the rest of you, noticed they're all white.
How can that then properly represent the American people?
Well, it can't. I mean, we learned that this past week from the Women's March. If there are going to be a lot of white people at your gathering, it has to be canceled.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, coverage of the 2020 election should probably be canceled at CBS.
Yeah. Until they such time that they employ enough minority reporters so that they can actually reflect the accurate demographics of this country.
Yes.
Sort of sounds like affirmative action, doesn't it?
Yeah. And then the CBS replied that some of them had foreign sounding names, even though they're white.
Well, okay.
I have a foreign sounding name.
Well, you know.
I bet I count as white.
Now that you mention it, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so anyway, here's what I'm wondering.
You are the first Servatius I've ever run into, I must say.
Yeah, and I probably will be the last.
I hope not.
Every one of us in the country is related. we all have genes in common.
Okay.
Yeah, but no, I was thinking about that. Well, hold on. Now, have we not been told that it is a violation of the media's First Amendment rights for Trump to criticize them?
Oh, of course.
And that by criticizing them,
it's a threat to democracy.
It's a threat to democracy.
Yeah.
And that by criticizing them, Trump has caused the threat to the democracy, and he is a threat to their First Amendment rights.
Right.
Well, would that not mean that Occasional Cortex is now a threat to the media's First Amendment rights? I mean, she's criticized them here.
Well,
made them
go.
Look very bad.
There you go.
And why isn't it a threat to their First Amendment rights when Ocasio-Cortez criticizes them, but
right.
It is when Trump does?
That's a good point.
I'm just asking. I'm just asking for a friend.
Well, you know. Because we just want to be fair and just.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Probably another one of those things I'll never get a question to. Okay.
No answers there.
It's not going to happen. All right, let's go see what the people think. Been a lot of swirl about this survival mac and cheese. Yes, on sale at Costco for $89.99. And it lasts 20 years, and there's enough to get you through an apocalypse. They're selling it in a bucket. A lot of people commenting on that. Where'd it go? Darn, I just had it, but then the text. Oh, text writes, my son would eat that in 2 weeks, and he's 12. So says Troy. How big is that kid? I'm just asking for a friend. Text writes here, my one concern with survival foods is they almost all require water. There are only so many sources of water in the long term. So I just wonder how practical these foods are. Well, let me put it this way. If you don't have enough water to resuscitate your survival food, you're pretty screwed. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, like, you know, I would keep the survival food and bet that I can find some water, and then just with the understanding that if I can't find some water, I got much bigger problems than that. I don't have survival food. That's just me, though. All right, some great text on the text line. I got to get caught up. Texter writes, as a black person, I also can't understand why a majority of black people are so naive to think today's politician, with the exception of a select few, care anything about American citizens, illegal immigrants, minorities, or any class they portray to care about. They are all power hungry. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Yes. Bingo. A lot of you not happy with Tim Scott, by the way, our senator who happens to be black. Once again, explaining, he's in the Washington Post, and he's wailing away on Republicans for being racist. Here's the opinion piece. Tim Scott, why are Republicans accused of racism? Because we're silent on things like this. Anyway, he goes on to thoroughly thrash Republicans. This is my problem with Tim Scott for a long time. And I'm going to say this. Tim Scott has no right to open his big fat mouth and say anything about Republican racism until once, just one time, he criticizes the left for it. Total silence when racism comes from the left. It's just, I mean, when you got Keith Ellison as the number two in leadership in the Democrat Party, who really is a number two, I mean, this guy hand-delivered Louis Farrakhan's newsletter, which at times praised Adolf Hitler for decimating the Jews, which denigrated homosexuals, which denigrated Jewish people, and at times denigrated white people. But Tim Scott just does not care. I mean, on a weekly basis, if Tim Scott really cares about things that could be perceived as racist, man, he ought to be out there on his Twitter account just taken it to the left because it is nothing but one racist comment after racist comment after racist comment after racist comment. Nothing. Nothing from him. It's only when a Republican says something like, we shouldn't have birthright citizenship. Tim Scott finally awakes from his slumber and is outraged. So I don't want to hear it from Tim Scott. I don't even believe him that he cares about racism. I don't buy it. If he legitimately cared about racism, he'd take both sides to the woodshed when they said stuff. And there are a ton more examples on the left than there are on the right. But he's got nothing to say. He's got nothing. So he doesn't care. He doesn't care about racism. Could care less. He's just trying to get the media to like him. Using racism. That's just wrong. When a black person does it, as it is when a white person does. Texter writes, can't wait to get rid of Tim Scott. Texter writes, that's because Tim Scott gets his money from the left. Texter writes, if Tim Scott wants to be reelected, he better wake up and stand for all Americans and get behind the wall. Tim Scott's just another rhino. I will not vote unless he gets honest. Oh, I suspect he will, like Lindsey Graham is right now. Texter writes, hey, Tara, have you... Where did this go? Oh, gotta love it when lefties start eating their own. Texter writes, I'm a landlord. Try not renting to an illegal and see what happens. I have no rights, just saying. Another texter writes, what the heck happened to Senator Tim Scott? He's become just another establishment Republican. I would add establishment Republican hack. Texter writes, pretty sure a felon cannot go to a gun range and possess a rented gun, so why should it be illegal? They can't. It's against the law. But the Supreme Court may fix that. Texter writes, all that crazy is from the left. Yeah, I know. Now the texter writes, Tara, providing illegal immigrants with the right to possess guns could be construed as treason. Or just another day in Washington. Now the texter writes, Tim Scott needs to keep his mouth shut. So says Ann. Hey, look, I got no problem with anybody combating racism. I hate racism. It's just that when you have people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, whose main sidekick while on her campaign, her main volunteer who she was at most events with and photographed with repeatedly, is a guy who ran on an anti-Jewish platform for the New York City Council, who blamed the rent problem on Jews, the rent rate problem on Jews. And Tim Scott's got like nothing. But he wants to take it to Republicans. I mean, I just don't believe him. I think he's a hack. I don't think he doesn't really care about racism or anti-Semitism or any of it. Oh, are we done here? Darn, I had another hour left in me. All right. Well, you'll have to tune back in tomorrow to get that. I'll have it ready for you. Keep it warm, I promise.